Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll be preaching today from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23, the parable of the sower. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, we ask that it would take deep root in us, that it would spring forth and grow and bear fruit, and that the evil one may not snatch it away. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as most of you know, or I dare say all of you know, earlier this year, churches here and around the world suspended their public worship services due to the COVID-19 restrictions. As this happened, something else quite incredible happened all around the world, and it happened fairly rapidly. What I'm talking about is that thousands and thousands of Christian churches moved their worship and their preaching and other activities onto the internet. It was all the way from city cathedrals right down to little country congregations. There was this dramatic increase of Christian churches taking up the opportunity to proclaim the Christian message through new media. Now, as this happened, many of those churches discovered something a little bit surprising, which is that as they did this online, often they seemed to be reaching more people than they would on a normal Sunday, sometimes many more. So you could say that in the words and imagery of Jesus' parable of the sower, that these past months have been an unexpected opportunity to do some serious sowing of the word of God, God's powerful word. And so then, with all that, surely we may think that we can automatically now expect a great Christian revival in our land and around the world. Surely we can expect that as churches slowly return to public worship services, that they will be filled to overflowing. Isn't it a simple equation? Sow lots of seed, get lots of grain. Sow lots of the seed of God's word, get lots of spiritual fruit. Well, yes and no. Jesus teaches us today that it's not quite as simple as that. Indeed, we can and should pray for spiritual renewal and awakening. And coming out of this time, I do hope and pray people are led to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and life in his church. But it seems to me that in our text today, Jesus wants to give us a sober-minded way of thinking about all this. He wants us to know that it's one thing to sow the word. It's another thing for that word to take root and to grow and to bear fruit. And to think more about this, Jesus gives us these four types of soil, which as you meditate on these, it's helpful not to think of them so much as four different groups of people, but perhaps four different conditions of the heart, four different attitudes or responses to the hearing of God's word. Today we'll call them the hard heart, the shallow heart, the strangled heart, and the open heart. The first problem is the hard heart. This, Jesus says, you can picture as a seed which falls on the path rather than the proper soil, so that the birds come in and eat it up. And Jesus says this is when a person hears but doesn't understand. And not just understand intellectually, but doesn't receive, doesn't accept, doesn't stand under the word. And in fact, Jesus says what's happening here is that the devil is coming and snatching away what was sown. I think I've shared with some of you before how when I was growing up, I used to hear my father say, "The devil works hardest on Sundays." Now, when he said that, the context wasn't so much some profound teaching moment about spiritual reality, but something more like a lament as we would drive home from church and my brothers and I would argue and fight in the car. Sometimes maybe we didn't even make it that far, but it was in the car park coming right out of church. The devil works hardest on Sundays. But according to Jesus' teaching here, there is something profoundly true about that throwaway statement. According to the scriptures, I think we could say that the devil doesn't work as hard in the red light district, so to speak, as he does in the church district, if I can put it that way. The devil is hard at work, Jesus says, when the seed is being sown. And isn't that a sobering reality? One that surely awakens in us spiritual vigilance for ourselves and for all who hear the word of God. Now you might ask, how does the devil do this? Well, Jesus doesn't say here. But the picture of the seed on the path and the birds coming, it suggests to me something like a moment where a person just begins to grasp something of the Christian message. But no sooner has that little flicker happened than something else races in and displaces it. Perhaps it's just a single thought. You know how it goes. You hear a pastor or another person speaking the word of God, and perhaps you just begin to grasp the wonder of grace, or the mystery of the angels, or the seriousness of eternal death. Whatever it is, no sooner has the seed of God's word landed in your heart than this other thought comes racing into your head. You think to yourself, oh, that young, energetic pastor, I mean, he means well, but he's probably exaggerating a bit. Or maybe you think to yourself, that older, wise pastor, he's clever, but modern people can't really go along with that anymore, can they? And then perhaps other things occur to you. That person speaks of God's kingdom in such an engaging way, and I should find out more, but they probably don't really believe it themselves. Maybe they're just in it for the money and the lifestyle. They probably don't really practice what they preach either. Now, I'm taking a little bit of rhetorical license here, but I don't think it's too much of a stretch to recognize those sorts of thoughts as an example of the devil coming and snatching that word away. The problem of the hard heart. The next one, though, is the shallow heart. This is the rocky ground in Jesus' picture, where the seed doesn't take proper root. So when it does grow, it grows quickly, but the hot sun comes out and the plant is scorched and withers. Jesus says, this is like when a person receives the word of the kingdom with joy, but doesn't endure, and so falls away when trouble or persecution come. Now, how do we think about this one? If in the first soil we spoke about thoughts that come in and displace the planted seed of God's word, perhaps here we could see something more to do with the emotions. Notice this receiving with joy. This could be the situation where a person has some big spiritual experience, maybe at a Christian camp or a rally or whatever it is. And this experience, it fires them up. It's like a spiritual growth spurt, and there's a passion there that comes with this. Lots of people have reactions to the Word of God like this in some way. Perhaps for you it's connected with music. That's another common one. You have this intense emotional reaction to sacred music as the Word is proclaimed in that way. Now, we don't want to dismiss those experiences. There are plenty of people I know who have had them where they are the beginning or an ongoing significant step in a lifelong enduring journey of faith. But what's interesting here is that Jesus does seem to offer a word of caution about that sort of reception of the word of God, if that's all there is to it. He says that in that case, it's in danger of not having deep enough roots and so dying out at the first sign of trouble. And the word that's translated here as falling away, it's actually something more like scandalized, or we might say just being offended. So it's not just that there is some trouble generally that comes and that's the problem, but it's trouble that a person of faith encounters and it makes them think, hang on, I don't deserve this. I've just committed my life to God and now this is happening. This is the problem of the shallow heart. Then there's the strangled heart. This is the seed which Jesus says falls among thorns. And the thorns grow up around the seed and choke it or strangle it. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word. It's such a vivid picture, isn't it? Now, I think most of us can resonate and see clearly how the lure of wealth fits in here, that excessive love of money which can so easily choke the spiritual life out of us and others. But what about that other phrase, the cares of the world? What's that about? What's interesting about that one is that it seems to be a more neutral or even a positive phrase. These are real cares, real concerns, real issues. And what's translated here as the cares of the world could be something like more particular cares and concerns in any given period of time, of history. So one translation says these are the worries connected with the times. This really makes me think about our current situation in and coming out of COVID-19. It has brought particular cares, specific concerns to our time, hasn't it? I don't need to list them all. You know what many of them are. And we're aware that different ones predominate for different people for particular reasons. But here's the thing. Most, if not all of them, are legitimate. Legitimate cares and concerns of this period of time in one way or another. But if they take all our energy, if they take all our attention, if they become the all-pervasive way in which we look at life, then beware. They too will be like thorns which grow up around your faith and will threaten to strangle it. Then there's the good soil. This is the one who hears the word and understands it, Jesus says, takes it in, receives it deeply and holds on to it. In this case, not only is there real growth and real yield, but there is an abundance. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30, Jesus says. It really is amazing to stop, to pause and consider the power of the seed. We get used to this as adults, but try to think back to when you were a little child and you first saw a seed germinate. I wonder if you can remember that. When you first saw that little sprout on top of the dirt. When you first perhaps harvested a vegetable or picked a flower from a seed that you helped to plant. We lose the wonder of just how amazing that is. I still get a little bit of that childlike wonder every time I see something sprout into life from a little seed that has gone under the ground. Perhaps that's just because I'm not a really good gardener. This, Jesus says, is a picture of how the kingdom of heaven works. It's a different sort of kingdom. You come into it through listening to a message. Faith comes by hearing, the seed being sown. And spiritual fruit in this kingdom happens as that word takes deep root and grows, and maybe it's slowly. But make no mistake, Even when you can't see what is happening, there is real power there. There is an abundant harvest at the other end of it. When I hear Jesus teach these sorts of themes, figures from church history often come to mind. And for today, I just want to mention briefly one who's had a bit of an impact on me, a famous Baptist preacher, actually, named Charles Spurgeon. Some of you know him. The story goes that there was a particular point in his teen years, I think it was, when the seed of God's word took deep root in his life. He was on the way to a scheduled appointment, and there was a snowstorm which diverted him into a little primitive Methodist chapel for shelter, basically. But there was a service on. And at this service, there was an unknown substitute lay preacher who was delivering the sermon that day. Spurgeon later recounts how the preacher didn't really seem to have much to say, and so he just kept coming back to his text over and over again. But Spurgeon looked back at that service, that sermon, that text, as being the point at which he came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. The point where he was also set then on the path to becoming a Christian preacher himself. Now here's the thing. By the time of his death, Charles Spurgeon preached nearly 3,600 sermons. And he published 49 volumes of commentaries, sayings, anecdotes, illustrations, and devotions, all based on the Word of God, many of which are still read today, over 100 years later. You don't know it here at Bethlehem, perhaps, but occasionally you even get a few Spurgeon-inspired lines and outlines from this very pulpit. What's my point in telling you this story? That from one little seed of God's Word, when it landed on that good soil, it yielded abundantly. Now, of course, it's usually not that dramatic. Jesus acknowledges this, sometimes 100-fold, sometimes 60, sometimes 30. But his word is powerful and effective. It will accomplish that for which he purposes. So there's the hard heart, there's the shallow heart, there's the strangled heart, and there's the open heart. Which is the soil of your heart this very day? Don't fall into the trap of thinking that it's all those unbelievers and lapsed Christians who are in the first three categories and that we church-going people, we're all the good soil here. Each of you lets the devil in to snatch away the word that has been sown. Each of you sometimes responds with joy but doesn't let the word take deep root. Each of you let the cares of this world and the lure of wealth choke that spiritual life in you. It's worth knowing, by the way, that one of the next times we hear that word Jesus uses here about falling away is just before he goes to his death and he tells his disciples, all of you this night, will fall away. Bear that in mind. That night, none of those fledgling spiritual seedlings could handle the heat of that sun. Left on your own, there is no good soil in you. And your Lord calls you to repent, but thanks be to God that though they all fell away, though we all fall away, Jesus still goes to the cross. He goes to the cross and he lets those thorns which would choke your faith pierce his brow. And he lets those rocks that would prevent our growth become for him a tomb. But he rose again and he sent his Spirit and he is with us now. And in his goodness and in his grace and mercy, he keeps sowing the seed of his word. That good news of his kingdom, that because of his death and resurrection, there is forgiveness, life and salvation for you. So whether we're in the middle of a once-in-a-generation pandemic or not, whether we're joining in worship and listening to God's word online or in the flesh, Let us keep hearing and receiving that powerful seed of God's word. Let us keep sowing the seed of God's word, and let us be sober-minded about the different conditions of the heart the word finds. But let us be thrilled with the promise of the abundant spiritual fruit. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.